John Mullen has joined us on the John Riley podcast. John Mullen, a sitting council member here in the city of Poway, running for re-election in District 3. Welcome, John.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Right. I know you've been out knocking on doors this Saturday afternoon.
I have.
Meeting and greeting. How's that going?
It's going really well. It is, as we were just talking, as part of the process, is that the one of the features of a campaign mm-hmm. is that you meet people, you get feedback, you talk. And what we always find is at the end of the day, it's gratifying. Most of the people you engage mm-hmm. thank you for doing what you're doing.
Nice.
Most of the people appreciate the way the city is run.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's a gratifying process for me to knock on doors.
So what are you hearing from the people? What things are they pleased about? Maybe what things are they concerned about? What are some of the issues you run into?
When I talk about what I think is important, it resonates with folks.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about the city historically and currently staying focused. We keep our eye on the ball. We know what's important. We know that public safety is important. It's the mm-hmm. primary reason we exist.
Sure.
That resonates with people. Yes, it is. I appreciate that. Talk about our infrastructure maintenance, streets that are smooth, mm-hmm. resonates with folks.
Right.
We talk about the family-friendly environment,
mm-hmm.
community service department, activities, young and old,
mm-hmm.
resonates with people, and they end up saying, yes, you're right, it's a well-run city.
Right. Very good. Yeah, I mean, just here, you know, I live off of Stone Canyon, and they were just redoing some of the streets nearby. So, you know, we appreciate that. I mean, parts of the city of San Diego can be like riding off-road, you know?
Yeah. I know, yes. And it, like I say, you typically can feel the difference when you get into Poway. You can hear it and feel it in the way your wheels hit the road. And
right.
Where the rubber hits the road, I guess, is really what it's at.
Right. You know, I was reading your website, and you talked about, safety. You talked about roads. You talked about the family-friendly environment.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know this fact about you, but you used to be the president of the Poway Girls Softball Association. Is
yes,
that right?
Yes.
Or softball league, pardon
softball
me.
Softball league, yeah. I had three kids that grew up here. We've lived here since 76.
Mm-hmm.
And they went through all of those activities, girls softball, daughter played basketball, they all did high school sports, my girls did college sports.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a big part of what their life was and what our life was,
yeah.
literally,
yeah.
for 15 years.
Yeah. Yeah, my daughter played, at Poway Girls Softball League, and that was a big deal because, well, not only was it a wonderful experience for her, but she was able to have wonderful friendships, but as a parent, you know, we got to meet the other parents and going to the fields, and we were able to go and use Aubrey Field right when it opened,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
or Aubrey Park, pardon me. You know, you connect with members of your community, you know, it's like almost going to church, you know, it's like a connection.
It is. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're at the same point in your life, so it's an easy connection.
Yeah.
But this is the point that I make to the volunteers at our volunteer appreciation mm-hmm. dinners, is that you meet the nicest people when you're volunteering. People that are willing to go do something for somebody else for a greater good
mm-hmm.
are just typically the nicest, down-to-earth folks. And yeah, some of the best friends we have, we met while we were volunteering for girls softball, grad night, those kinds of activities. So yeah, it's in a large part of the community too.
That's terrific. I know the other thing I read on your website was you're very proud of Poway's fiscal position.
Yes.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about that.
It is one of the things that separates Poway from many other cities in the region, or many other cities anywhere, the fact that our budget is always balanced. We went through a process, I'm sure you're aware of, a while back, because we did a financial review and determined that we actually had more reserves than we needed. So we
really? Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Let that sink in.
Wow.
So hired a financial consultant to mm-hmm. come in and to do a realistic assessment of what our reserves needed to be. And that because we had just survived the recession of 2008 to 2012 and hadn't dipped into reserves. And so that kind of triggered the thought to say, maybe they are excessive. We did that. And so we, and even at that, and what they came back and recommended reserves should be, we still just adopted a policy that exceeded that recommendation.
Nice.
So we keep 45% of our operating fund, our general fund, in reserve.
Right.
And during going through that process is then we decided that we could allocate some of this excess reserve to capital improvement projects, which we did.
Right. And I think some of those are underway. I mean, the Espola renovation.
Espola, yes.
And I know the Cafagna Center is, you know, just about to start or maybe at some point soon, right?
In the design stages, still trying to figure out what we can afford. We have $9.8 million allocated to that project. Concern is that the two plans that we're looking at, the hybrid plan it's called, and then the hybrid plan plus that we would all like, each of those are projected to exceed $9.8 million. So we're bidding the project both ways, find out what that delta is, and then stop then and look at it and see what we can do to either do another capital campaign, reallocate from other projects, just make a plan at that point.
So as a conservative approach, right, kind of a fiscally prudent approach, I wish our friends at the school board would take similar philosophy on that. But, yeah, good for you. No billion-dollar bonds in the city
there
of Poway.
There are no billion-dollar bonds.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that scares us because sometimes the recommendation will come forward, why don't you just remodel the building? And it's just such a can of worms because you're – once you start, you're committed, and it is it can be really problematic to try to come up with a reasonable budget to do that project. I will say, though, too, is that in terms of, again, my approach to government and to business is trying to get the most bang for your buck.
Right.
One of the things that I suggested and the council endorsed was to develop an oversight committee, a committee of construction professionals to oversee the design, because it's always bothered me when municipalities or build buildings, the stakeholders sit around the table, the architect sits around the table. Who's not sitting around the table is the taxpayer, the person paying the bill for it.
Right, that's right.
So yes, the council embraced the idea, and through this process, we have met periodically with the architects and with city staff, again, construction professionals who look at the design and come up with recommendations, suggestions to make it more, make sure we get the most bang for our buck.
Terrific. Yeah. It's good to have taxpayers at the table.
I
hear you. I mean, yeah, you're right. They're the ones paying the bills.
They're the ones paying the bills. And you can see it.
Yeah.
You can see examples of these really grandiose buildings.
Well, yeah.
And some architect got an award for it, and he did it on my dime.
Right.
And I don't like skip the award.
Right. Right.
Give me something I can afford.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, talking about, you know, development and, you know, it kind of leads us to the whole Poway Road corridor.
Yes.
You know, we had a lot of candidates that have come here and share their thoughts on it. And, you know, everyone has opinions, you know, varying degrees of acceptance of development, right? Some want to not develop at all. Some want to develop more slowly. I mean, what's your take on the whole project?
I don't think anybody can drive down Poway Road now and say, this is perfect. We should just leave this like it is. I've heard it described once, and I think it really is a really good summary to say, Poway is, to look at Poway, it's just a great house. We all love living in this house, but we need to remodel the kitchen.
Ah, okay.
Poway Road is the kitchen. Poway Road is also the city part of the city and the country.
Okay. That's an interesting way to put it.
And it is the downtown area. I mean, that die was cast whenever Poway Road was built.
Right.
How many? Probably in the 1800s. So to look at the Poway Road plan, this was a plan that was 2 to 3 years in the making. And the idea was to try to revitalize Poway Road, create a destination for the existing community. And you have to support that with housing. So the projects that will now fit the criteria for the Poway Road plan, some combination of residential and commercial, some public benefit to each project as part of the approval process, and as I say, it will be create a destination for the existing residents.
That's right. Yeah.
And so I know that when you if you're a challenger to this race, that's probably the one area that you might think that that we're vulnerable on, to me, it's a key part of Poway's future.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, I've lived in Poway since 1996, and Poway Road is, they were talking about, you know, the revitalization back then. But it was always kind of talk, but it seems like now things are really happening. So that's good. The question is what does it become? And the fears that I've heard from others are, it's going to become another Mira Mesa, another Friars Road. They'd object to the 3 or 4 story height. Mm-hmm. They object to the large national franchise restaurants potentially coming in. So, what are your thoughts on that?
The overall mm-hmm. allowable units mm-hmm. on the section of Poway Road that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Is actually been reduced. I'm not quite sure of the numbers, but it's in the range of 25% of what would have been allowable under the old plan and what's allowable under this plan.
So less residential units.
As a whole.
Okay.
Now, they're individual sites, individual parcels, yes, that we're
sure.
talking about a higher density per acre.
Right.
When we talk about going over 3 stories, mm-hmm. that is only on the downhill side of the street. That's on the south side of Poway Road.
Ah, okay. I didn't know that.
So yeah, so you're working down the street. So so the difference above grade at street level, still comparable to what is allowable now.
Ah, okay. That's a fair point. All right.
And so, and in each case, you know, all we can do is lay the framework. Mm-hmm. We need to create a plan that is attractive enough for somebody else to come invest their money mm-hmm. and to produce the project. Mm-hmm. That's the way this works.
Of course.
Everybody says the city should do this and the city should do that. The city doesn't do anything other than.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, some of the challengers that I've had the pleasure of speaking with, sometimes they think that the city can dictate what each property owner does, you know, and obviously there are zoning regulations mm-hmm. and they're it's not limitless. But in the end, the city is allowing the development to occur within certain guidelines.
Correct. That's exactly right. And mm-hmm. so the line we walk mm-hmm. is that, yes, we don't want too many units. We don't want too much height. We don't want these things. But yet that's what takes to make the projects happen. So you walk this line mm-hmm. because you can impose so many conditions on the projects that they become infeasible, mm-hmm. and then you're stuck with what you have. So that's the line we walked as we developed the plan. And I will say that the plan was developed, we had like maybe a 16-person committee of citizens mm-hmm. to oversee the development of the Poway Road plan. The Poway mm-hmm. Road corridor study was a major undertaking. And every meeting was public. All mm-hmm. of the committee meetings were public. Mm-hmm. There were each 2 or 3 workshops, which are informal council meetings, mm-hmm. where more than ample notice for anybody to come in and voice concerns about the plan. And quite honestly, the Poway Road Committee did a terrific job. Mm-hmm. Actually did change directions in some cases mm-hmm. of what was happening. And like I say, we developed a plan that I think is a key component of the future of our city.
So what's the timing on this? I know the outpost is being developed now.
The outpost, yes.
But when are we going to see additional groundbreaking?
That's a question that we do not know the answer to. Hmm. We are underway with an exclusive negotiating agreement with Meridian Sudbury mm-hmm. because there are 6, I believe, housing sites that are controlled by the Poway Housing Authority. Mm-hmm. So we have put those in the kitty, and they are in, as we speak, in the process of trying to negotiate with properties surrounding that to put together a town center type project.
Nice. That's always been kind of part of the vision going back like 10 years or so, right?
Yes.
Is, yeah, the town center, like kind of a, yeah, a center, you know, like a magnet. That's what people would have an entertainment
district. A destination. I call it a destination because I believe residents of Poway will find it attractive and want mm-hmm. to go down there.
Right.
I don't see it as a destination that somebody from Vista is going to drive.
Right.
So
it's not the gas lamp corridor.
It's not the gas lamp.
Right.
It's not San Marcos Restaurant Row.
Right.
But it's a Poway destination.
I understand. That makes sense. Just to switch gears a little bit,
sure.
You know, with some of my other guests that have been here, we've talked a little bit about city council or the mayor in terms of serving on these county boards.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, there's been, you know, some objection to that, maybe some misunderstandings about it. And I know you serve on a number of those boards.
Yes.
And so maybe you can share a little bit about that.
Happy to. Yeah, it is one of the underappreciated, I believe, undervalued, and least understood roles of a council member. Examples, Steve, is Steve Voss, the mayor, is the vice chair of SANDAG. SANDAG is the regional planning agency. Dave Grush sits on the solid waste, the trash pickup,
okay,
is another joint powers that Dave sits on. Mm. We just appointed Barry Leonard to the County Water Authority.
Okay.
I serve on the board of the Metro Wastewater JPA.
Okay.
As well as the Metro Transit System.
Oh, wow. All right.
So the Metro Transit System was Jim Cunningham's post. I was the alternate.
Ah.
So I'm filling in for Jim as the primary.
Okay.
For the until.
So you sit on those boards representing the people of Poway.
Representing the people of Poway.
Very interesting.
And it is. These are the one accomplishment that I can say that I played a little tiny role in at Metro Wastewater is what is now known as the Pure Water Project.
Right.
And it was an idea that actually originated with the JP. I don't take credit for it.
Right.
But we shepherded the idea, went to great lengths to subtly suggest to the city of San Diego that this was a better strategy than simply applying for one more waiver from our requirement to go to secondary treatment at Point Loma Wastewater Treatment Plant.
Right.
And over time, they began to embrace the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so the plan is, the strategy is, which is well underway now, to offload Point Loma. Instead of running all the wastewater to Point Loma, to reprocess it, and the technology exists to reuse the water.
So is this, forgive the term, the toilet to tap initiative?
We don't use that term, John,
okay,
but yes, I understand exactly what you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, yeah, okay.
This is, that was what presented several years ago. Technology has changed since then.
Technology,
and
for
even,
sure.
Even public perception has changed. The idea now is fully embraced.
Okay.
And potentially 83 million gallons a day.
That's a lot. I mean, we have a serious water issue in the desert here.
So it was and I always describe this as a plan that made so much sense. It will probably never happen.
Right.
And the sense being,
usually how it goes.
The site constraints at the Point Loma treatment plant would have made it extremely expensive to upgrade that to secondary treatment.
Yeah.
That was what the process we've been avoiding for literally 20 years.
Right.
But always with the threat of having to do that.
Yeah.
This will alleviate that risk.
Right.
While creating a source of water.
Right. Well, I mean, I think this is important because, you know, we can't just rely on water from Northern California or from the Colorado River. We have to be innovative. We have to use technology. There's the desal plant in Carlsbad. You know, there's other technologies that are coming forward that can make, I mean, water is so vital, right?
Yes.
So you've got to be innovative in how you go about planning.
Correct.
Yeah.
So again, County Water Authority, like I say, Barry Leonard recently appointed there. Yeah, they make decisions that affect our lives, that affects Poway.
Yeah.
SANDAG for certain does.
Sure.
And to have Steve as the vice chair of SANDAG is relatively small town, relatively short-term member on the SANDAG board, and for him to be in that position is, I think, kind of notable.
Yeah, because usually it's someone from San Diego or a big city like Chula Vista.
Cities, yes.
Yeah.
And so he's vice chair with the chair stepping down, so as far as I know, he would be in line to become chair.
Wow. Interesting.
So anyway, it is. Yeah. Yeah, like I say, it's not talked about. It doesn't fit onto a brochure. It doesn't fit into a soundbite.
Yeah.
Great for a venue like this because the ideas need to be explored a little bit.
I understand. Okay, let's go back to Poway. Let's talk about Stone Ridge. That's always been a hot topic,
yes,
and I kind of want to get your take on it.
It is as an issue, as an item that is destined to become before the council. It is problematic for me to talk about.
Okay, then. If that's a legal issue, then we'll have to step aside.
And the point being is that whoever comes forward is entitled to a fair hearing. It's what's called a quasi-judicial hearing.
Okay.
So there is limitations on positions that I can take, statements that I can make that would indicate that I've made my mind up before that hearing.
I understand. Okay. Well, you know, obviously, that it's a pretty hot topic in town. And
I do.
And it's been for some time, so... some of the challengers have weighed in, and there's been various proposals and ideas. And
but it's kind of, John, it's another one of those things that, you know, you still hear the city should do this and the city should do that.
Right.
It's private property.
Right.
And we can only respond to a request that comes forward. And that's pretty much what we're waiting to see happen.
Right.
If there becomes fire issues, we can do defensible space kinds of enforcement. Mm-hmm. But that's the extent of what we can do with Stone Ridge. Mm-hmm. Because it's private property.
Okay. I understand. I got you. Okay. I hear you there. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, more of the accomplishments. I mean, you're proud of what you achieved on the regional board that you spoke of. But what about in Poway? What are some of the things you're most proud of?
I have talked in the past and continue to talk about applying business principles to municipal government. Mm-hmm. It's my background. It's what my education and practice has been. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I do think that there is a place for that and think I've played a role in having Poway move that direction. Mm-hmm. One of the things, as you can appreciate, is, you know, kind of a speed to market concept. And I know it doesn't fly well with any, but the process did not reduce any of our oversight processes. But I did initiate a streamlining proposal to allow for administrative approval of some permits and applications. Mm-hmm. Expense and trouble to go to a council meeting for an item that is pretty much rubber stamped because all of the rules and regulations are in place and the application is compliant should be approved at the staff level.
Right, I agree. I mean, if it's compliant, if it's in bounds, then it's only the odd cases, the ones where exceptions to rules.
If it's a variance, if it's a subdivision map, if it's only those kinds of things. And I'm talking about making it easier for homeowners and small business to invest money in Poway. When they want to do that, we should make that as easy as we can.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's one of the initiatives that I have done. The rest of it, again, just has to do with approaching the city as a business. And if the city were a business, it would have a mission. Mm-hmm. In this case, we call it a goal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I'm pretty well focused on what that mission is.
And what's that?
That mission is to provide for public safety. Mm-hmm. That's fire and law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Is to maintain the infrastructure, sewer, water, storm drain infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Maintain our streets, which we do. Mm-hmm. And to maintain the quality of life, the family-friendly atmosphere that everybody loves about Poway.
Right.
It's probably the reason most of us moved here, if not all.
Right, absolutely.
And then to be able to do that within the means that are available.
Right.
That is our mission. That's what my focus is now and always has been.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. I mean, you know, you're my representative. I live in District 3. And
which I didn't know until you contacted me.
Okay. Well, I think everyone's learning the district boundaries. And I mean, I had to look it up again, you know, to remind myself who my representative was. I was pleased it was you. Because the one thing that I appreciate about you is this notion of, you know, running the city like a business, but in terms of, you know, you got revenue, you got expenses, you got to make sure the budget's balanced.
Yes.
You know, just common sense, in my opinion.
And quite honestly, when you're facing a budget issue, there are really only two options. Mm-hmm. You can decrease cost or you can increase revenue.
Right. Well, yeah.
It boils down to that.
Yeah.
As we look forward, we see costs increasing by factors that we cannot control. Mm-hmm. Basically, pension costs.
Yeah. Pension Those are costs hockey are sticking up.
Coming home, they are.
Yeah.
Coming home to roost, and we have done a couple of things. We do have two tier of employees, our later hires, I believe 2012 and later, although don't hold me to that, do not have the same pension benefit, not as generous of a pension benefit as do our earlier employees. Mm-hmm. We also, I will credit the wisdom of those that preceded me, do not pay health insurance to our retirees.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's a huge difference. I mean, it really gives, when I look at cities that do that, I don't know how they are going to manage to face the increasing pension costs as well as cover for employee and retire employee medical.
Yeah.
So the pension costs have been driven by CalPERS and the way they, I don't want to say the way they manage money, but yeah, they've lowered their expectations. When they're looking at the pool of money they need to make their payments, they have two sources. Contributions from us and the earnings of their portfolio.
Right.
they've for years overestimated the earnings of their portfolio.
Or maybe they promise too much. That might be another way.
That too. So they are now backing off on their projections of what their portfolio were earned, which means they need to increase contributions from the cities. And
So
that's what we're seeing.
Because it's a defined pension, a defined benefit.
It is a defined benefit.
So they have to hit that mark.
Yes.
Right? And if the investment portfolio isn't delivering what they had hoped, then there's a delta.
Yes.
Right?
And the only other source to get that is to increase the contributions from us.
I understand.
We did at the last meeting, because we hired our own actuary to come in and try to assess our pension obligations and help us get our head and arms around what that was. And she was outstanding, quite honestly, outlined the problem. Because one of the easy questions is, well, let's just get out of CalPERS. We'll just get out. No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Yeah.
But it's an appealing approach for somebody who's unaware of the consequences. Because you can say, no, we should have a defined contribution, not a defined benefit plan. We'd have a 401k style plan. That would be the ultimate answer.
Right.
But to get out, you have to bring all of your unfunded liabilities, all of your future liabilities, all of your payments current.
Oh, my gosh.
To leave.
That's a big nut.
To about $115 million.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why we do not leave the CalPERS program.
I understand.
But you will hear people say that's what we should do, but it's just not feasible.
Easier said than done, I think, right?
Easier said than done, yes.
Okay. Another topic that frequently comes up was this whole appointment process for city council. And, you know, should it be an appointment? Should it be an election? Just kind of maybe get your thoughts on
that. Sure. Two things are involved here. In this discussion, not only appointment, but the transition to district elections.
Okay.
And the two of those are kind of blended together.
Okay.
So the, and in both cases, the process is prescribed in the government code, either election code or government code. So the when there is a vacancy, you have two choices, well, three choices. You can leave it vacant and wait for the next election. You can appoint special election.
Right.
Special election, probably a $400,000 to $500,000 item. So it never hits the radar as a realistic alternate.
Right.
So the choices we had in this case were to either appoint or leave it vacant. We chose to appoint, as you might guess, as you know. The seat that had been vacated was Jim Cunningham's seat.
Right.
Okay. Based upon the transition of the imposition of the California Voting Rights Act, Jim's seat was not up in 2018. So the seat that's vacant runs till 2020. I mean, we've been accused of maneuvering that to be able to do that, but that was a decision that was made by whoever wrote the California Voting Rights Act, not us.
Okay. Right.
So that's how that evolved. So that was the process. So the decisions we made within that legal framework, we decided to appoint as opposed to leave it open, and then went through the process. Yes, it was a short time period because it was a relatively short fuse on that. Again, given the time frame it contained in the government code. And so, yeah, we decided to to appoint and opened up the process and proceeded.
Understood. And you don't want me bringing this up, the one of the other objections to the process was the candidate that was chosen. And it's not because of her personally. Everyone generally thinks, you know, Ms. Frank's a pleasant person. But it was interesting that someone that was new to Poway was selected compared to a number of other choices that have been in the city for a relatively long time. And I was wondering how you were able to balance those two.
I tried to be as clear as I could what the criteria was to me for the appointment. And also tried to be as clear as I could that this was not a quasi-judicial decision, that I'm available. You're going to get an application to fill out, and you're going to get some time at the podium to convince us why you should have a seat at the dais.
Okay.
That's a tall order.
Yeah, it is.
I recognize that. Invited anybody who was interested to contact me. I'll meet you anytime, day or night, because I'm interested in knowing what you bring to the table.
Right.
Only one candidate did that.
Only one?
Only one.
Wow. How many applied? It was like about was 14, a dozen or so,
14.
Right?
14. Yeah, 12. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. And
only one. Wow.
And my criteria was, it's kind of like going into a NFL draft. I want the best player available.
Right.
And to me, that has to do with talent, temperament, judgment, the ability to get things done. Kaylin presented her background, both education, political science, worked for worked in Congress, mm-hmm. worked for a county supervisor, mm-hmm. understands government, mm-hmm. understands how to get things done, understands the regional impact that we talked about already a little bit, and mm-hmm. how regional relationships can be, can affect us mm-hmm. in Poway. And she was, to me, the easy choice.
I understand. Okay, so that's your criteria.
I tried to be as clear as I could what my criteria was.
Yeah.
I think, you know, as I might have mentioned before, it's more important that you understand me than that you agree with me.
Right.
And so...
I respect that, you know, because if you don't understand someone, it creates confusion and misunderstandings and upsets. And we can understand you where you come from. And that's important because you establish your criteria.
I try to.
I respect that. Looking forward, you know, what are you hoping to accomplish in your next term? What's some unfinished business that you want to tackle?
Somewhat of the things we've talked about is we're looking at this projection of cost escalating faster than revenues, mm-hmm. and we've kind of put some plans in place to help try to address that. Mm-hmm. Was happy to have played a part in the adoption. It turned out to be what we thought would be a capital expense, but we were able to do it with power purchase agreements. We have two significant power solar photovoltaic plants mm-hmm. in process. One's completed at the Performing Arts Center.
Oh, they're right by the high school.
Yes,
yeah.
And the other one is in the drawing board, should come out in spring by Fire Station 3.
Okay, terrific, yeah.
And those genuine cost savings.
That's the one on Pomerado, right?
Yes,
Pomerado,
close to Twin Peaks. Mm-hmm. I helped kind of champion those projects, and I'd be happy to see them. I want to see them through fruition.
Super.
I want to see the Espola Road Safety Improvement Project completed.
Mm-hmm. And when is that one slated to be done, approximately?
It is slated to be done next spring.
Okay. Wow. It's going to take a while.
We're at the mercy of San Diego Gas and Electric. Mm. They've been dragging their feet inexplicably because we've paid them the money. Mm. But we understand as we speak that they should have contracts in place.
Okay, good.
And for their part of the business, which is the undergrounding of utilities, there are no options. They're the only ones.
Yeah, so I hear you.
So you have to deal with that. And then the Poway Road Plan. I've spent my career in the construction industry. I speak the language. And I think I can help play a role to navigate the waters to implement the Poway Road, Poway Corridor study in their specific plan.
Super. I'm looking forward to that because I just tell you this funny story. There's a friend of mine that lives here. He lives like in Green Valley. And he's kind of sometimes a jokester. But, you know, people ask him, where do you live? And sometimes he'll say, I live in Rancho Bernardo. And I say, well, why are you telling people that you live in Rancho Bernardo? He goes, well, sometimes when people say you're from Poway, they think of Poway Road. And it's just so eclectic and odd, and I just don't want to be represented by that. And I thought, really? I guess the point is that people have emotional opinions about mm-hmm. Poway Road mm-hmm. for various reasons. I'm happy that it's being addressed because it seems like that since I've been in town here for like 22 years, it's always been sort of, we'll get to it someday.
Yes.
Okay, and now it's finally being addressed. And I'm pleased to hear that.
And I would implore the critics to appreciate a little bit more some of the oversight that we do exercise. Mm-hmm. Each of these projects has to come before the council. Mm-hmm. We did have a pre-development conference for somebody interested in the bowling alley site and in the it might have been the site next door as well. And after he got feedback from the council, he dropped his option to purchase. So it is not Katie barred the door, here come Mira Mesa.
right.
And so, you know, we are intent on creating an area of, like I say, we're going to remodel the kitchen to our nice home.
That's a good analogy.
And make it a kitchen that people want to go to.
And, you know, bring it up to date, right?
Yes.
So you're not like, yeah, I hear you. That makes sense. Okay, those are all very, very powerful, very worthy goals moving forward.
Thank you.
I know you've been out in the street knocking on doors. You probably have a few more to knock on, but is there anything else you'd like to share?
You know, the only other thing that I don't talk about much, but I think is significant, is my support for two things. One, the a special needs housing project, Villa DeVita. And I'd like to say I championed it, because I did, but by the same token, it had no opposition, so I really can't take a lot of credit for it.
Okay.
But I'm actually proud of the fact that we are as far down the road as we are promoting that project for special needs adults. To me, it's a win-win.
Right.
It's a project that doesn't have an impact in terms of traffic. I mean, there's not a commute to this
right.
for the most part, and it's such a need.
So that's going to be on Oak Knoll and Pomerado, right?
Correct.
Isn't it like an overflow auto dealer lot?
That is what is used now, yes.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm just continue to remain hopeful that we'll be able to make that project come to fruition.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
The other thing that I've done over the term of my time in office is support for the military. Renewed our relationship with the 1st LAR shortly after I got elected.
What is LAR?
I'm sorry. Light Armored Reconnaissance. It is our adopted battalion at Camp Pendleton.
The city of Poway has an adoptive battalion?
An adoptive battalion,
I didn't
yes.
know that.
Yes.
Oh, cool. All
a
right.
lot of people didn't. So I got elected. I said, what does this mean? And they said, well, there's no budget for it. But so...
Yeah.
So, but nonetheless, over time, got to cultivate relationships out at the battalion that led to, for example, Public Works Day. The city manager, bless her heart at the time, Penny Riley.
No relation.
No relation, okay. And what we were trying to do was to demonstrate to the separating Marines what life might be like, what jobs might look like post-separation, when you get out of the military.
Yeah.
And a lot of their training in terms of being mechanics, in terms of the kinds of work they did, seemed to fit to a public work position.
Yeah.
So we shut down the office at our public works department for a day, brought in all the equipment that we use, brought about 50 Marines out from Camp Pendleton, and demonstrated for them what a job would look like, what skills were required. When we got into our GIS mapping system, their eyes lit up because of really cool stuff.
I just thought it
fit in really well with the kinds of things that we could do to support the military. In this case, the battalion. We on a couple of occasions they would have companies returning home from a deployment. And get up at 5 o'clock and get coffee and donuts and go out there and wait with the families while they arrive and then line the streets of Camp Pendleton as they arrive back to the battalion headquarters, cheering and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right on. So it's kind of like when the Chargers came back from Pittsburgh in 1995. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
You know, Chargers. So it's kind of like their family, right?
Yes, it's an extended family.
Yeah, I hear you.
And so, again, it's moral support, it's general support. And then what kind of evolved out of that, and this was my wife's deal, is that she saw how little so many of these Marines have. You go out to the base and you would hear the stories that, you know, they show up and they might be married, might have a child or two, and they've got a cardboard box for their dining room table, those kinds of stories.
Yeah.
So she started what has become known as Project Ho Ho Ho.
Ho Ho Ho.
Started out with her saying, you know, I'm just going to try to make a nice Christmas for some of these Marines. And she sent out an email to some of her friends. And early on, we adopted 10 families, and we found out what their kids liked and what their interests were. And this is my wife that did it. This is Susie's deal. But it's kind of fun because it's taken on a life of its own. She's still her deal, but it's grown from 10 families to last year we did 17 families. We started in 2012. And what started out with a little email to her friends has driven into, we've now coordinated with the Poway Veterans Organization. And they are our umbrella organization for the handling of the money through their 501c3.
Nice.
And it's turned out to be a project that is, last year was really gratifying. We got connected with injured Marines. Tony Rubino is a gentleman that I have a lot of respect for.
Oh, I've met him before. He's a good guy.
Really good guy.
Yeah.
Tony has connections with a facility, a timeshare actually, in Carlsbad, and we had this room that overlooked the ocean to present the gifts to these Marines and their families and their kids. Anyway, it's like I say, it started out as just Susie saying, I want to make a nice Christmas for these Marines to, I would hesitate to guess, but a $5,000 or $6,000 a year program. The city's giving committee is now involved. They take four or five families and do it. Anyway, it's just kind of one of those things that was an outgrowth, shall we say, of the just general say to what can we do to help them.
Well, good for you. I mean, because, you know, a lot of troops, you know, they come back from the Middle East, you know, and sometimes, you know, they just need a helping hand, right?
Yes, yeah.
And they need to get on track with a new career, and you're helping provide that, you know, through some of the things with Public Works. And then, you know, the Project Ho 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 kind of, it's the adopt a family type of program. Really.
It's what it turned out to be. And so anyway, like I say, it's one of the things that an outgrowth of an effort to give support for the military.
And that's great. Yeah. Well, you know, there are a lot of veterans in Poway.
There is.
You know, and so hopefully they appreciate that.
There is. Mm-hmm. And the Poway Veterans Organization, we support whenever we can, Ed Berger and Bill McKiven.
Okay.
Both friends of mine that do terrific things for veterans, and we help them however we can.
Very good.
That's not a city function, but again, once you kind of tap into, you know, you want to do these things, you find people that are willing to step up. Mm-hmm. And that's what Ed and Bill did.
So it's kind of like what we talked about with the volunteers. There are always good people, and there's volunteers at the softball fields. There's volunteers amongst our, you know, veterans community. Mm-hmm. And this is sort of the underlying fabric of what makes Poway special, right?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is. Mm-hmm. Absolutely true.
Okay. So you're out there knocking on doors, you know, shaking hands and kissing babies, right?
Not too many babies, but
okay. Right, I understand.
But I understand the concept.
Yeah, okay. So, Councilman Mullen, you're my representative. I wish you the greatest success.
Thank you.
In your reelection effort. And voters will choose in a little over a month. And will we see you at the Green Valley Civic Association event?
We certainly will. I will be there.
And that's this Wednesday.
It is.
Okay.
It is. Look forward to it.
Thank you very much.
John, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right.